All right, ladies and gentlemen, Hevra, we're starting the recording. We're starting this particular presentation. I've invited Miriam, my wife, who has been the backbone and big supporter for my own recovery. I think you've heard me talk a lot about Miriam in the past. I'm going to introduce her to you now to begin the sharing. The title of this particular session is Everything You Wanted to Know About a Spouse But Were Afraid to Ask. We know we have a variety of people at all different levels of sobriety. There are husbands on boards. There's some wives on boards. There's men that have not disclosed to their wives anything. There's some men on here that are just at the beginning of their recovery process in the 12-step program, and there are men that are veterans in this program. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Miriam.
I think that it's my phone that cut what I'm hearing. So I'm going to, how do I dial? Maybe I'm going to call on my cell phone. So
okay, Hevra, forgive us for the technical difficulties, but we're back. I'm back. Miriam, are you there?
Okay. Here I am. I'm sorry, Hevra, for the delay. It sounds to me like whenever you're doing something going to do something with Kedusha, there's always things to block you. The Yetzirah doesn't want you to bring the Kedusha. So this is what's happening. Perfect example of what happened when you're trying to do the right thing. Anyway, I'd like to take you guys back when I first learned about my husband being an addict. The train crashed. The house was on uneasy. And I'm trying to take myself back to where I was because it's not me anymore. For the sake of the story, for the sake of healing and the sharing, experience, strength, and hope. And please bear with me because it's a little bit hard because I need to go back to the files of 21, 22 years ago. When it happened to me and I understood that my husband is an addict, I was in the mode of I'm going to shame, blame, kill him, punish him, make his life miserable because I felt cheated. I was self-righteous. I was self-seeking. I did not want to compromise. I wanted to be right even though I was miserable inside. And my dear husband put up with this nonsense for a long time because I was very sick. And what he did that was very admirable, and I still admire him for that, he did not let go, and he was steadfast with program. He really worked hard on himself. He was very diligent about making me feel first and number one. And the sick person that I was, I was very suspicious of him. I would check on his computer, on his phone, show up in his office, and inside I was crying. And back then, there was no Essadon in my town. And I was very isolated, and the only person I was able to share it with was my psychologist that I saw once a week. And the resentment that I have was that here I am going to a therapist, and why should I go if I didn't do anything? But I kept on going. And there were very many components why my husband was disloyal to me. The component was that he was disloyal. I cannot speak for him, but I could just understand it from my point of view. I was very fearful that he would leave me, and he was very fearful that I would leave him. The codependency was going rampant in my home. That prior to understanding that he's an addict, I did everything that he wanted me to do. I was the social wife. I was the hostess with the mostess. And I was complying with all his needs in the bedroom to a point that I wouldn't even know what's good for me. So I lost my whole identity in all his needs, and when the train crashed, I was so upset at him because I actually felt like I did everything possible for you, so how come you're having this addiction? And there was the crux of my problem, is that I was so self-sufficient. I was trying to be everything to somebody else before I was trying to be everything for me. So I got a job, and the job was an amazing job. I was earning part-time job. I was earning back then $45,000 a year. I made more money than whatever, a lot of money. I was getting to be more and more independent. And I was in such a place of popularity in my town that it was scaring my husband. But inside of me, even though I was finding my career as an answer to my self identity, I was still unsure of myself. Because I lost my identity with my husband, even though I got a career, and it was paying me a lot. My identity and my self-worth was all dependent on my husband, how happy he is. And he didn't see that I was scared. He saw that I was very independent. So the more I got independent and self-reliant I was, the scared he got, the more acting out he did. So it was a snowball effect of two scared people trying to make a relationship from being so codependent of each other that they don't even know who they are, what their worth is. So David Chaim started the program, and while I was blaming, shaming, punishing him, angry at him, acting out, he was constantly trying to tell me that I'm his number one and he's not going to act out anymore. And I did not go to program. I did not go to program for many, many years because, like I said, there was no Essanon there. I kept doing what I was doing with my therapist, and slowly, slowly, I started taking charge and becoming the person that I really was hoping to be, a grown-up adult to take responsibility on my life. If it wasn't for David Chaim to do the program and staying focused on making sure that I'm number one, that he's not going to retaliate when I'm acting out. He didn't punish me. He understood what I was going through. He detached himself when I was angry. He didn't look at it as if it's his fault. He was there and saying, I hear you more than I ever heard. And he didn't throw back at my face that I'm just to blame. The most important things that we did as a couple was that we constantly went to programs that were enriching the coupleship. Back then, Jewish Marriage Encounter was very important, so we kept doing that. We went to Couples Weekend with Dr. Snarch and Dr. Moorhead. Continue with our program when Essanan did appear and Kosa did appear. We start going to RCA, Recovering Couple Anonymous. And then coincide with that, GYE called and says that they need a couple to run the conference call. About 10 years ago, I took a course to become a life coach, and I thought that I will be an organizational life coach for CEOs of company. And I did very well with those CEOs, except that David Chaim was telling me that there's lots of women out there that they could sure use my help. That was not my intention to get them to hire me. It just serendipitous came, and they start hiring me to do it. But today I hardly even run the conference call. I'm holding more of a capacity of answering the hotline, and there for women who need me for question, direction, and so forth. When I was reading your questions, I heard so many questions that goes like this. What does a woman think about us? How do I restore the trust in my coupleship? How does a wife act out? What do I do when she does? What about sex? What does she expect from me? So I'll go with the first question. What does a woman think about us? Well, you don't really want me to say. What you think of her husband is that when you come and admit that you are an addict to a wife, suddenly things are becoming clear. And because she's so self-sufficient and she constantly thinks she knows best, she's very angry at herself. How come she did not figure it out? So as she's thinking that way, how come she didn't figure it out? She's so angry at herself that at the same time she's angry at the husband. And what happened is that it shook her equilibrium, because everything she did was in order to restore sanity in a very insane home, and she doesn't understand that even when she was restoring sanity, he did not restore any sanity. It was more insane. It was this snowball effect. So she thought that she was safe, but now she's even more unsafe because she is charting new territory. Second question, where did we lose her trust? well, duh. You lost her trust when you told her that you're an addict. You act out in different ways. And she thought that she has control over you and she's keeping you happy. And now when you're telling her that, the trust is lost. How does a woman act out? A woman acts out, second page in the Essanon book, a woman acts out by her not realizing that she said subconsciously. And this is the answer for the guy name, just a minute, his anonymous name, Moshe K. She acts out because subconsciously she does not want to admit that she is suffering from an illness that drives her to unconsciously seek out rejection, victimization, and heartache. If your wife has been in program for many, many months, many, many months, over a year, and she's still blaming, shaming you, and kick you out of the house, saying that you're all the problem, and she's still not taking responsibility, she is still acting out, and she is subconsciously seeking rejection, victimization, and heartache. And for you, Moshe K, I would highly recommend to not rely too much on everything on the program and go to a couple therapy and go to Recovering Couple Anonymous. Those are the two things that helped a lot to this time in mind. Okay, next question. So now everybody got what it means that the woman acting out, the wife acts out. She also acts out by going to check on you on the computer, checking to see anything in your pocket, checking to see your cell phone, your WhatsApp, being suspicious of you. All of this is acting out. All of these are indicators for me. When I hear that the girl is still not feeling safe, the girl is still trying to be self-sufficient and she's not relying on the step 1, 2, and 3 that a higher power can restore her to sanity and she believes he can do it and she's letting go, letting God. Next question. What do I do when she does? When she does act out, what do you do? So don't do what you don't want her to do to you. Don't do it to her, which means don't blame, don't shame, don't punish, and increase your unconditional love and acceptance, and just be there for her. Do the dishes. Clean up after yourself. Help her more with the kids. Tell her that she's beautiful. Thank her for all she does for you. Humble yourself as much as possible because obviously God is sending her to be suspicious of you, that you can admit that you're powerless over her, daven for her, and at the same time humble yourself and know that you're not perfect. What do you do when she acts out? Also set up more boundaries. Boundaries are not necessarily telling her up to here you cannot go. Boundaries are things that preserve you from getting to become insane. What preserves you to become insane are these. Change of lifestyle. Get up in the morning on time. Go to school on time. Eat on time. Drink at least a glass of water. Eat well, 3 meals a day, connect to friends, exercise, read literature that helps you, get hugged, reach a friend, admit your wrongs, apologize. There's a list, actually. that I give to my clients, and I wouldn't mind to share it with everybody here on the call, that I copy it from my clients, I give it to them, and then they copy it many times, and they make a check to every action of recovery that they do, because the boundary preserves you to stay in program, to stay sane, and to stay in a place of serenity, joy, and freedom. What about the sex? That's the hardest part. Because up till now, you used your wife as an object. Your compulsive behavior in your sexuality was felt in bed. You are not the most gentle person. You are not the most considerate person. In the bedroom, you will have to show a lot of patience and a lot of softness. You'll have to breathe. You have to take your time. Ask her how she likes it. Ask her what she would like to do. What would you like you to do for her? Talk before you do the act. Talk. Listen to her. Don't try to fix what she's telling you, because she already figured out the answer. She just wants you to listen. Tell her that you're sorry. And it's okay for her if it's taking her too long. Be patient. Make sure she's getting her pleasure first, then yours. Go out to eat before you do the act. Don't have your phone next to your bed. Put it in the other bedroom. No computers, no phones, no children allowed. Hug her. Hold her. Caress her. Take a brush, brush her hair. She's your queen. Don't make her wear things she doesn't want to wear. Don't make her say things she doesn't want to say. Don't manipulate. Be patient. You are enough for her. You don't need to have a chase and show off how wonderful you are in bed. She's very happy with you. You don't need, there's no competition in bed. Any questions until now? Anything else that I missed that I need to address before I continue? If you don't want to talk and you're scared for fear of anonymity, you can email me as I'm speaking to MiriamGYE@gmail.com. In the meantime, while you guys are listening... Yes, I'm all ears.
Now, I just want to make a comment. This is Velvo. First of all, I was monitoring.
I need you to bring yourself closer to the phone that I can hear you clearly.
Is it better now? Now better?
Hello.
Hello. Is it better now?
A little bit.
This is the best I could do. So I just want to tell you that I was very moved by what you said. Especially with the bedroom stuff, it reminded me what Rabbi Victor Miller said, that what happens between a man and woman in the bedroom is kodesh kadoshim. I never heard anybody in my life, this life or the past life, I don't think ever tell say that. And I was crying when you said that, when you said what you said about the bedroom. I thought it was extremely important what you say, and I just want to thank you. I'm single. I haven't met that woman yet.
In the merit of the phone call today, God willing, in the next six, within 6 months, you will invite us to your wedding.
Amen. Listen,
amen.
I hope so. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen. I said it three
okay.
times. I just want to say,
okay.
You've made a big difference in many people's lives. I was crying before. So I just want to thank you for what you bring to the table. Thank you for coming out and helping other people. I'm sure it's not easy, and you're doing a great job. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Miriam.
Any questions?
Miriam?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a question.
I'm all ears.
What would you suggest if my wife doesn't seem to get a lot of pleasure out of intimacy? She says she's just willing to do it to give me satisfaction, even though I try very hard to give her satisfaction. Do you have any advice for that situation?
Okay. So first of all, you don't need to try very hard. She feels the pressure. Don't need to feel you don't need to try very hard. Give her the space and say, I hear you. If there's anything else I could do for you to give you the pleasure that I'm not doing, please let me know. Okay, I'm going to invite you to the next. If nobody's going to ask me from the audience more questions, I'm going to listen. I'm going to read the one that was sent to me. Hi, I want to tell my wife about my problem, but I'm afraid she'll not be able to handle the news. We are at the sensitive point in our marriage in that we are planning Aliyah, and I'm afraid she's second-guessed moving away from her family while I still have this problem. Do you have any suggestion about when to say something and how to say it? Is it something that should wait until I've had a certain amount of time clean? Should it be discussed when she's Nida, or should it be especially when she isn't? Okay, when I'm hearing stuff like that, I'm seeing a lot of unmanageability and needing to control and needing to control the outcome especially. Do you hear this? So here, this is perfect for meditation. This is perfect in my favorite prayer that says, Hashem, help me set aside everything I need. I think I know about telling my wife about my problem. And I'll have an open mind and new experience. Hashem, help me see the truth about telling my wife about this problem. Amen. It's a set-aside prayer. You can Google it. You'll find it. It's a very good prayer. I'm not sure how long you've been in program. I'm not sure how long you've been clean. Just overall, if I just look at this email, I just want to tell you that if you think your wife doesn't know, it's a very, not true. Your wife knows everything. She knows. Not the details, but she knows, she feels it, she's not stupid, she knows that there's something going on, it's just not clear. Simple as that, just not clear. Now, I would always do, come forward and tell her, supervise, don't do it by yourself. Somebody that knows you both, your therapist or your coach or somebody that knows you well, that you can do it supervised. Don't do it alone. Okay. Another question. Hello?
Yes.
Let me finish with one more question that was sent to me, and then I'll take yours, okay?
Okay.
Okay. I find myself, especially on my weekdays, being very codependent. At times, dear wife says, if I say yes, I mean yes. And at other times, I am expected to read between the lines and not take her reply as face value. I find predicting what my wife really wants a challenge. This leads to fear, insecurity, as I am unsure whether or not she is bloggers with me. Any advice? So, my dear friend, this is codependency at its core. Like I said before, when somebody who is so codependent about the outside to affirm who he is, what he feels, what he wants, what he thinks, that tells me you have not done anything when it comes to your own boundaries and lifestyle change. And lifestyle change means I have a regimen, daily regimen, that, like I said before, I'm watching what I eat, I'm watching how much I sleep, I watch how much I exercise, I watch how many literature, codependent or essay literature I'm reading, how much I'm sharing, how much I am reaching out, and so on and so forth. You need to make a list of the action steps that you need to take that preserve you, that keeps you in program and keeps you in the path of sobriety. Okay? Taking self-care actions are the number one preservation of my sobriety. Okay? Life change is so important. It's the ABC. It's the most important thing that I can take. I feel so much better when I go exercise because I have a free drug in my body that when I'm going to exercise, it acts out like a barbiturate that makes me feel better and great about everything that is around me. And it's the endorphin. Go tap into it. When was the last time you exercised? That gives me a lot of clarity. And I'm detaching myself from what outside is telling me because it's really not about the outside. It's about what I'm telling me inside. So if I'm looking at this, I'm going to change and say, I say to myself, if I say yes, I mean yes. And other time, I'm expected to read between the lines about myself if my reply to me is in face value. See, because what happens is when I'm not taking care of myself, I'm confused. I'm back in chaos. And for a recovering addict to be in chaos, it's not necessarily when I'm acting out. It's what freed me to act out is that I don't have a say there for my day. I don't have order in my day. Okay? So when I'm not having order in my day, who is bloggers with who? I'm bloggers with me. With that inside person inside me that says, pay attention to me. Okay? I hope I answered the question. Another one. Question about intimacy. At times my wife does not want intimacy for a few days, and that's okay. The difficulty is when she says she is ready, and during intimacy, one realizes she is not completely at one with me. Being to be passive, not seeming to enjoy it so much, not offering to do things which she knows she gives me pleasure. However, the main thing that she is not 100% emotionally connected is exceedingly painful and makes sex distressing experience. Can you shed some light on this? How can I know if she's completely at one with me before intimacy? When I stay out of her head, that's number one. Stay out of her head. Codependency starts with me thinking, feeling, wanting what other person wants for me rather than what I want, think, and feel for myself. So your codependency here is flaring all over the place. To confound the matter even more, it is my belief that she herself is unaware of where she is really holding until the climatic stage of intimacy. Any answers? Stop analyzing her. What are you aware of? What do you want? What do you think? What do you feel when you're with her? I think you need to come to my office. Okay, I find sleeping or being unwell at home with wife busy in the house with work, kids quite uncomfortable. I feel that I may be looked down upon. You lazy, any advice? Get out of the house. Go on. Take a walk. Ask her what it is that she needs you to do and go do the groceries. Be helpful. What is a sensitive and loving way I can tell my dear wife that I need time out for myself? A sensitive way? You're doing her a favor that you go and take time for yourself. When you do the things that I mentioned, so exercise, eat right, sleep right, drink more, connect to friends, read literature, go do the dishes, sweep the floor, empty the trash, walk in the sunshine, clean some of the mess on your desk. And instead of trying to see what you can do for her, be an attraction, not promotion. Don't tell her what to do. See, show her that you're changing. Okay, going to the next person. What is the best thing or thing her husband can do or not do to move as far away as possible for self-centeredness and towards after to his wife? I think I already answered that question. Another question is, I don't feel like telling my wife for decades I struggle with masturbation. Is that okay? Yes, it's okay. She doesn't need to know all the details. What for? What for? What is my part in my wife being frigid about sex, and what can I do about it? Well, like I said, because your taiva bring you to behave compulsively, you guys are not the most gentle person to make love to. I want you to hear it very clearly. To make love to an addict is something to make love to a truck. You guys are not the most gentle people because your compulsive behavior of the taiva is getting you to be clumsy, painful, not gentle, not patient. And all of these need to have an overall in your behavior. So really, I recommend you guys to meditate before you even come to the bedroom. Just take good 20, 30 deep breaths of just relaxation technique. That's one. Two, ask her what will make her feel good. Now, who said that she's frigid? How do you know she's frigid? You decided. You gave a big stroke on her name. My wife is frigid. Of course she will be frigid. You've been using her like an object for how long? You married her until you started programming. Oh, by the way, there's another person in the bedroom here. So the prelude to make love to a woman is, honey, is there anything else I need to do in the kitchen or with the kids before I go to the bed? We go to the bedroom. We go to sleep. When was the last time you told her she's right? When was the last time you told her, I hear you, and you didn't try to fix what she says? When was the last time you gave her a compliment, concrete, to the point, a compliment for something that you noticed, not just saying, oh, the food is tasty? I love that you put the carrots in the soup. I love that part of the soup. This really makes it better. I'm sorry. I noticed you changed the tablecloth. It's very nice. I noticed you added a curl to your shato. I noticed you changed the color of your lipstick. Open your eyes. It's not all about you. Pay attention to details. It will slow down the compulsive behavior that you have in the bedroom when you slow down and notice the little things. Move on. It seems as if S&M encourages withholding of sex as a tool. That's not true. That is totally not true. In the page 2 of S&M book, immediately like a bulldozer, the S&M book comes and says, but you also have some suffering from an illness, one that can drive us to unconsciously seek out rejection, victimization, and heartache. It's a bullseye to tell the woman, hey, 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 you have a part here in this. How pathetic and sad for the S&M. I know that women really like sex. It doesn't really make sense for them to be having this little sex, even if they were really only having sex to otherwise satisfy themselves. It would be a little more often. I really don't understand. Don't give it to the sex addict. Isn't it arrogant? Oh, my God. You really have something against the S&M. It sounds to me like you have not had gone to a couple therapy. You have not gone to recovering couple anonymous. When I work with my clients and when I'm going to my meetings and when I'm going to RCA, there is their laws of coupleship, of behavior, and we need to adhere to them. I highly recommend to go to one. I'm going to go to the next question. And I'm encouraging the guy that Moshe came to call me directly. I will give you some more ideas about how can you get more help, okay? S&M seems to be very good at taking the other party's inventory. Oh, this is you still. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to step over that, and I'll be more than glad to help you with the understanding of S&M, okay? Next question. Thank you, David Chaim, for this call. I think in the past I would have participated in proverbially would have sent you a bunch of questions. However, over the past couple of months, I've learned that trying to understand what my wife is thinking and what she is going through as my wife doesn't help my sobriety. Of course, because you're codependent. You care about what she thinks, what she feels, what she wants, rather than trying to stay focused on yourself. It breeds my own codependency, which in turn breeds my addiction. I think you should also let the all of them know that they should keep this in mind. Thank you again. Okay, you're right. To everybody who's on the call, I love the fact that you're doing SA work with David Chaim. I would also address, and I'm constantly saying it, to David Chaim and to everybody who worked with me, work on your codependency. Work on your codependency. Read about codependency. Read how to live your life thinking for yourself independently, but not wondering what other people may think, what other people may want from you, what other people may feel, what they feel. Staying out of people's head is one of the most important actions I can take when I don't want to be codependent. This is from a woman. Not every woman is codependent the way she described. Many of us do not act out at all. As much as we love our husbands, some are very hurt, especially when there were no red flags indicating an addiction and they were enjoying a happy marriage and relationship. if we, the wife, mm-hmm. acts out of hurt, it isn't manipulation. It's an honest and vulnerable expression of dreams lost, heartbreaking, and even hopes for a better future. So it may take time to get there. I don't agree. I don't agree because I can give you a diet of feeling that you are sad and you're hurt. But if you have the step two, understanding that Hashem, the higher power, can restore this situation to sanity and you're turning your will and your life to Him, there will not be any room to dwell on lost dreams. Because God, only God, know what's best for you. And maybe through this addiction that you didn't notice what had happened, maybe through that, maybe it will upgrade the quality of the relationship that you have. Okay, I'm getting another one. Miriam, thank you so much for the time. My wife does not know about my addiction yet, and I've been physically sober for 1 month now to SA meeting. The question is, she has always been very negative towards sex and not interested like I am. She never ever likes to talk about it, doesn't like telling me what she's like or don't like. To do so with me, and for years only believed that sex was purely for making babies, and I'm a pervert for wanting to enjoy it. I've been wrong with how I have acted out, but how does that excuse her without being willing to be physical relationship with me? This is a very, very to the issue matter. This is not an S9 or SA issue. It doesn't have anything to do with your sobriety. It has to do with the lack of understanding intimacy from your wife's side, and I would address that with the doctor or therapist. Miriam, this is the next question. Miriam, I'm a wife acting out having an affair. It began with my husband. Fell off the wagon last year. Should I tell my husband? I feel all intimacy with him is lost. Is there hope? Well, of course, intimacy is lost because you feel that you want to punish him for what he did to you. So get out of the affair and start rebuilding your life with him because you are the mirror of your husband. He has an affair with his needing to control, self-seeking, selfish, fear of loss. And he was having an affair with his sexual drive. You're going and having an affair with another guy. That's also the same thing. You're self-seeking, selfish, needing to control, and afraid of loss. Your intimacy here now is to come clean, both you and your husband, and start working on rebuilding a relationship and finding what's good about your relationship. That's not that bad. Okay. Let me see who else. I believe this is it.
Miriam, can I ask you a question?
Yes, go ahead.
I found that my wife's been very resistant for me working the program. She doesn't
You need to put your mouth a little bit closer to the phone because I cannot hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Please slow down and just try to speak clearly, okay?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. This is Debbie. I found that my wife is ambivalent at the best of me working the program. It's not resistant, and I'd like to somehow get her into Essanon, but she's already resistant about me coming to meetings, so I'm not sure how to approach that. And at the same time, I see she has a lot of pain inside. She's a very tough woman, a very strong-willed woman, and she doesn't even really buy into therapy that much. So do you have any advice on how to approach that?
Sure.
I see that she has pain, but I'm not sure how to crack through to her.
Sure. So first of all, like I said, the retirement went through the same thing with me. We went through the same thing. Attraction versus promotion. You continue staying focused on your recovery. That is the strongest, you know, there are the promises of the program telling you that after you doing this, somehow everybody around is becoming healthier. So stay focused on your program, on your side of the, get your side of the street clean. Okay? Second is,
okay,
for all the couples out there, even the ones that already answered the question, get the book, The Language of Letting Go. Read it together with your spouse. And reflect on it. Share. So it's David Chaim, and I love that book. Love, love that book. Every time we read something, we find something new, even though we read it before.
What book is that?
It's a reflection. It's a daily reflection for The Language of Letting Go by Beatty, B-E-A-T-T-I-E. David Chaim and I read it together sometimes, and we share. David Chaim and I still do a love letter from the Jewish Marriage Encounter, the tool that we've learned 22 years ago. Anything to connect, do. But do never, ever, 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 never push her to do something she's not ready to. She will resist. Best result is always doing things together. And allow her to be who she wants to be. Okay?
Thank you.
Anybody else? Anybody else have some questions?
I just sent a question to David Chaim's email, so if you could read it.
Please.
Is this Shlomo?
Yes.
Okay, hold on. I'll get that over to my wife in just a minute. Trevor, your question's been amazing. Wonderful, wonderful. We'd be happy to take some more. I know we're at the top of the hour, but we'll continue to take questions as long as you'd like to ask them. Okay? I'll tell you, I'll read the question, Miriam, that was just shared. It says, in your opinion, how important is it to have sex with one's wife? As it seems that withdrawal with sex with my wife has been for months at a time. In the beginning, it bothered my wife. Now it seems like she accepted it. How much should I work to make my bedroom life work? Do you understand the question? Miriam?
Sorry, I did not hear your question, David. David Chaim, I did not hear your question.
Okay, hold on. How should he really try?
Can the person who sent this letter, I think it's Shlomo, to please ask me, explain to me what's going on?
I seem to withdraw when communication doesn't go so well, and it seems the same in the bedroom life. So what happens, I withdraw from
okay, everything. Are you using a computer in order to call on this line?
Yes, I am.
Well, can you do me a big favor, please, and call the regular on the landline that I can understand you better?
I will try.
Thank you. Any other questions? And I'm sorry about the connection today. I want to address the woman that says that she's having an affair. I feel for you. The person who's having an affair with you, he's an addict too. You're using him and he's using you as an object to heal the pain and the hurt that you've experienced from your husband. That is not the, doing that is not the solution, sweetheart. Doing that is going to make your pain even worse and recovery even worse. It will hurt the intimacy that you have. It will hurt you more because you'll start comparing. When it comes to telling your husband, it's only going to hurt more. I would suggest for you to go to a couple therapists to work on your pain that you've experienced, knowing that your husband is an addict, and restore the intimacy that you have within yourself and the intimacy that you have with your husband. The pain that you've experienced is because you really don't know what intimacy is. And you're a beautiful person. And when you start working on this issue, you'll find out an amazing woman is out there, and you'll bring a much brighter light of who you are and what's your purpose here than trying to lick your wounds with somebody else and having an affair with him. I was a very flirtatious woman in the past. As an answer for the pain that I've experienced from my husband who is an addict. And the more I flirted, the worse I felt about myself. When I took responsibility about my feelings, I would start to heal. I started to heal. And today, flirting is not even in the whole, even in the radar, because I've worked so hard on restoring the true self of who I am.
Okay, let's see if there are any other questions from.
Yeah, this is if I can ask. So this is Larry.
Yeah, sure, Larry.
Yeah, thank you. You really, I'm very impressed. I really these expectations from your what you're talking about. I'm in a situation where my wife is very controlling. She's always angry. She doesn't want to go for therapy, and she's always living in anger and frustration. And I really can't reach her, you know, and I feel the only way – we have no sexual relationship at all now. I feel the only way for me is just to cope in this marriage. I don't want to leave right now. It's just to kind of coexist with her. But one therapist said she really wanted to marry an orphan, meaning someone with no background. So I'm in a very tough situation because – my wife really, you know, doesn't understand or is not reflective at all. She has a hearing problem, so maybe she also has some learning issues. But, you know, it's frustrating, and I'm trying to kind of change it. But I kind of accepted last week or two that this is what my situation is. I cannot change her, and I have to just do the best I can in the relationship and not be angry because I'm also very bitter. And I think my goal is really not to get back with her, but just to be not as angry. So I don't know how you would respond to the kind of, you know, situation, which to me is pretty hopeless. And every therapist has told me to get out of the relationship because she really doesn't want to get help. So she thinks there's something wrong with everybody else, not with her. And I've been in therapy, and I'm very open to therapy, but she really doesn't budge at all. That's part of her background, I think. She's a Holocaust, you know, second-generation survivor, I guess you could say. Anyway, so I just want to know, you know, your comment on this.
Chaim, was he talking, addressing you?
What's that?
Is anybody still on the line? I can't hear anybody.
Yeah, it was very tough. There's, I wish.
Is anybody still on the line? I can't hear anything.
Yeah, it's Simon.
How you doing? This is weird, but this has been a great hour.
Maybe we have to call back in. Let's try calling back in.
We have to call back in?
I don't know, maybe. Let's try.
Guys, you're on. You're all on. Don't worry. I think just those two have come off.
Yeah, I just can't say something. So
hold on.
Belville, just hold on to your guns.
Waste of time.
Belville, okay. Yeah, hold on just a minute. I'm going to put Miriam back on. I wanted to share with her that the last question really centered around the frustration a man has with what can he do to help his wife come into the program. It's a frustrating marriage. It's
I have a question.
Here, I'll, okay, hold on just a minute.
Okay. I'm sorry. I guess you guys did not hear me. Dewey Kine had the same frustration with me, and I thought that I know better. And I thought that it was a waste of time. But the better, the healthier he got, the more attractive it was to go to program. So he did not try to promote it. It was attracting how he behaved. And the more he was sober and the more he was working the program, the more attracting it was. That's one. Two, Get the book, The Language of Letting Go, and share with your wife. Read it together. It's a beautiful book. It's very soft sell. And I totally promote this to read it together and share. Okay?
Can you repeat the name of the book?
The Language of Letting Go by Melody Beatty, Beatti.
Okay, The Language of Letting Go?
Yes.
By?
Melody Beatty, Beatti. Melody Beatty.
Yes.
Melanie Beatty, right.
Miriam?
I have a question. Simon?
Yes.
Is the previous question finished?
Somebody saying that he did not hear the answer that I had about his question.
I have a question. Is the previous question finished?
Okay, go ahead.
Is the previous question finished?
Yes.
All right. If it's like, let's say almost 2 years.
Wait. Can you please bring your mouse to the phone a little bit clear and that I can hear clear?
It's almost 2 years. And
it's almost 2 years, yes.
And she's still having hysterical reenactment. So she still goes hysterical periodically in reference to what occurred 2 years ago.
I'm so sorry. The only thing I got is that it's been almost 2 years. What's the question again?
She still has fits of hysteria from going back to the period of time when I was acting out.
She still has what?
I cannot hear you.
I'm so sorry. This is terrible.
She's hysterical.
It's been 2 years and she's still hysterical about what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
Is this what you're saying? Is she still behaving hysterically for what has happened?
Yeah, for a period of time, not constantly.
Yeah, a period of time that she's still behaving hysterical about what has happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Leave it.
Why don't you take it off? Okay, Chevrolet, I tell you what, let's do this. In the next hour, this is my number directly. It's already going too late. This is my number directly. You can call me and ask any question you want by my on my private line, 214-446-1828. Call me on that line and I'll be glad to address it. I'm sorry. The ones that I could not hear them clearly, please, I'm giving you the reshoot to call me directly and ask. Anybody else would like to use the conference call to ask a question that I could hear it clearly? Fine. Go ahead.
You can take me in if you'd give your number again, please, and your email address.
214-446-1828. Do not email me.
Email is?
The email, I usually don't delve in answering in the email. I'm much better verbally. My number is 214-446-1828. Anybody else who would like to take a chance that they're calling on a landline and not a computer that I could hear it clearly and answer, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to address this question as well. I want to, can you hear me? Can everybody hear me? Those high and Miriam, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so here's my question. I sent this in an email. Here's my question. I'll narrow it down. I go to meetings, and I'm, like, flabbergasted. I'm just, like, shocked at the selfishness of some guys and the problem that they can't accept love. For example, they get chocolate or they get something for their wife or a wife is just so nice to him and trying to get him, you know, in a good mood. And he totally rejects it and can't accept compliments. And I've heard this from many guys. And, I you know, it's just very difficult to sit through the meeting and listen to that stuff. And we're talking about guys who have ears. Many guys I find... they're just very unselfish, and the past is still haunting them from their family stuff, and they're rejecting the women, the good women. So I want to know if you have any comments.
So if it hurts you, Velvo, if it hurts you, that means to me, that tells me that you have not set a boundary to get up and leave.
Not set a what? Not set a boundary?
Yeah, the boundary is if it hurts you and you do not like to hear what's being said, you need to get up and leave. You don't have to sit there and listen.
Yeah, well, it's a common thing that most guys, I mean, I've heard this even from people who had many years, that in their first 5 years they were totally insane and they were very, very hurtful to the woman. The very first 5, 10 years.
Well, it's very hard to me to hear this, and it's very sad to hear this, but I cannot do much about it.
Okay.
This is really a question for me to answer rather than Miriam.
Right,
and
that's why I addressed it to both of you. That's right.
Right. Well, it is unfortunate, of course, and there's a tremendous amount of bitterness. Velva, what one message that Miriam said a little bit earlier, and I want to reinforce, is that we really don't believe that the 12-step program by itself can solve all the problems that come into our rooms. Options are available for. Calling us directly for some life coaching, go to a therapist, making sure that they have training in sex addiction. That's a CSAT therapy training. Group recovery, couples recovery, I should say, couples recovery programs. Put it all in the 12-step rooms. You can get a lot, and it'll help one with their disease, but we are dealing with restoring health in an environment where there are really three parts that need health. One is the husband, two is the wife, and three is the coupleship.
Right. Would it be okay for me to mention
it?
Would it be okay for me to mention it to that guy that there is help out there, and if he wants, he can go to other places to get some help?
Call me. Have him call me. All right, we're going to wrap up this call. I know it's getting late. I appreciate everybody's attendance. And Miriam, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking time to speak to the gentleman. I know it makes a big impact. Okay, Hevra, for any future questions, you can send them to me. Miriam already shared her phone number. You have my phone number. This is important that men have a better insight into their wives. That was the intention here, and hopefully we scratched the surface on it.
Was this taped?
Yes, it was taped.
Thank God.
I would like to invite all of us. I would like to invite all of us to close our eyes for a moment and join me with the Serenity Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
God. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom
to know the difference. Keep coming back. It works when you work it, because you're worth it. Have a wonderful evening, everybody.
Thank you. God bless you both.
Thank you, guys.